listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, head to Dog Pound Drive, the free Cleveland Browns fan pregame. Don't miss live music, food trucks, a beer garden, and more. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the next Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns and Texans December 16th. That game, pregame starts at 10 a.m. on the south side of First Energy Stadium with music from the Billy Morris Band. It's actually November the 16th, just a week from Sunday. So you want to check that out when the Browns return home to take on the Texans, who will be led by Ryan Mallett in that game. Let's go back to the phone lines now. I think we've got John in Akron. Is that where we're at? All right. What's up, John?
Hey, it's about time you guys took me. Listen, your record is very deceiving, 5-3. I wouldn't be too optimistic about beating Cincinnati, which you're not going to beat them. I picked them to win that division. You got no running game. You got no pass defense. And how are you going to beat anybody? Tell me.
I don't know. I'd ask the five teams that we have beaten. And I would say the pass defense, the ground game is struggling. But say we have no pass defense, I think is silly. The Browns just held Ben Roethlisberger just a few weeks ago here in Cleveland to basically 10 points of offense, really three other than that garbage time touchdown. And Roethlisberger in his last two games
has thrown for
862 yards and 12 touchdowns in two games alone. So I think the Browns' pass defense is good. I think when you look at this matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals, Jeremy Hill worries me. Their ability to run the football worries me. Andy Dalton doesn't worry me. Joe Hayden plays A.J. Green very well. Buster Screen, I think, is going to have a much better game against Mohamed Sanu than he had against Mike Evans. And you know, it's easy to just come on here and just poo-poo things, and that's fun, and maybe that makes them feel good. But, you know, I'd like to think that we have a level of caller that's going to give a little bit of analysis behind just you can't beat anybody to a team that's beaten five teams already in the NFL.
And for me to kind of, again, come back at him, who are you to pick? Cincinnati picked to win a division, so all of us are supposed to go all in on the way you think. We all have our own personal perspective, and we're in this building. We understand what's going on around here. And what you also don't know is that Cincinnati is actually struggling with their own injuries. They, too,
not at 100%.
They can't stop the run either, okay? Yeah. And they have their own struggles. They have their top linebacker out, their leading tackler of last year out. A.J. Green has been struggling with a toe injury, so that could reoccur. But there's a lot of things that go into this. Again, Giovanni Bernard, you know, Bernard is out. And but yes, they do have Jeremy Hill, who does in fact scare me. But I think from an injury standpoint or how this game sets up, the only thing that they have to their advantage is the fact that they're playing at home.
That's it. And hopefully on the short week, that won't be as much of an advantage. Emmett, do you think that was the Bostonian disguising himself? Yeah, it was the Bostonian. Do you know who the Bengals drafted?
A center. First round pick.
Johnny in Cleveland, welcome to the
show. He makes
all
the calls, like your first quarterback.
I don't like the fact that the Bostonian was afraid to just admit he was the Bostonian. Johnny, what's going on, man?
Poser.
Do we have Johnny?
Johnny, there.
All right, we're going to go to Chevy in New Jersey.
We know
Chevy.
Man.
Chevy will be there for us. What's up, bro?
Thanks, guys. My co-MVPs are Hoyer and the linebacker that we picked up, Kruger. Those are mine, and I think
Hayden's
coming on strong. So here's another thing. The key to the game, I think, tomorrow is heart, soul, leadership. They got to get that feeling in the gut. They got to get that game face on and have to stay hyped on the sidelines. The leaders really got to get vocal, and obviously everyone's going to ride the coaches back. He's the man. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Dude, I agree, man. I agree. And I think the more that we can stay hype, you know, on the sidelines and create an atmosphere that feels like home, the better. The more that, again, these personalities in this locker room that we know of, the Dansbys, the Whitners, the Ben Tates, the Terrence Wests of this locker room will thrive in this primetime platform that has been created for them. And also, too, what is at stake in this division? The amount of respect for this football team that is at stake is going to carry an entirely amount of merit going forward.
Laura Waters Brown, day after her birthday, back in the office, taking her tray away. The cupcake's still here. If we eat it, then it's the end of your birthday, Laura.
It's not my birthday in November.
The whole month of November is her birthday. Laura Waters Brown, check her out, fueling the Browns Twitter account and other social media activities. She's the person behind the camera on all those Instagram videos as well. All right, let's go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Jeff in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
I'd
like
to
bring a dose of reality to the show if I can.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns are not a very good football team. They have had by far the easiest schedule in all of football. If you think Brian Hoyer is the long-term solution, you're either delusional or you don't know football. Manziel's not the guy either. The long-term quarterback is not on the roster. And I'll take it a step further. Hoyer cost himself about $40 to $50 million in the last month or so. Go Browns.
Go Browns. I think the Browns have an opportunity to prove that they can be a good football team. I think when you look at their schedule, yes, it was favorable. But good teams find ways to win those games. Have they played as well as we'd like? No. And I think that's why they see themselves, and Las Vegas sees them as six-point underdogs headed in to Thursday night against Cincinnati. Brian Hoyer has presided over a team that's 5-3. I think, and we've talked about it many times, there are issues with Brian Hoyer's game. And we've been, I'd like to think we've been pretty open and honest about those, whether it comes to the accuracy, the decision-making, some of the luck, and not having some of those interceptions kind of rear their ugly head. But I think it's too early to say Johnny Manziel's not the guy. We haven't even seen him play in the NFL. I certainly get to watch Johnny Manziel on a daily basis in practice. I think he's making leaps and bounds, great strides, working with the scout team out there. And he's going to be surprise you when he gets an opportunity to play, because everybody thinks of him only as the runner. He's got an incredibly strong arm, and he's very accurate. And I think when he gets an opportunity to show that, you will see that. I think it's too early to write him off. I think Brian Hoyer is going to need to finish strong over the final eight games, where you can say and point to games that he won, or say that the team is winning completely because of his performances, if he wants to make that kind of big money in free agency.
Yes, I think Brian Hoyer can determine the amount of money he makes, whether it be in Cleveland or somewhere else, in the next eight football games. But also, too, I think something that you and I have kind of strayed from, because and have kind of walked the line that Ray Farmer walked yesterday, is we have made no decision or have given any dialogue about who we feel is the long-term fix here in Cleveland as well. We don't have that right, because you and I are and again, as you said, I make the statement all the time, is we're living in the now. We're right. Living in the now. We're living in a week-to-week environment, because everything can change so quickly around this league. Brian Hoyer could have, again, I said another injury that puts him out for the rest of the season. We have to, and we're forced to, with Johnny Manziel. Then we'll determine whether he's the guy or he's not. He has that platform. And, I mean, the injuries, look at what Alex Mack did for us. We're not running out to go grab another center. We're doing our very best to patch together an offensive line and get back to running the football the way we did early. So that's something that I am not going to do until January.
I agree with that 100%. Daniel in SoCal, before we have to take a break and bring in Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network. What's up, Daniel?
How you guys doing?
How you doing?
Good, man. The way the Browns are going to win is the same way we won last year against the Bengals. I mean, how many yards did A.J. Green have when we played him at home last year?
I believe he had 51 yards in that game.
Exactly. If we can shut down their passing game, our defense has held us in every single game this year.
I agree.
It's all about our defense and giving Hoyer opportunities to win the game. Hoyer's been great at winning the game when he has that opportunity. Granted, it's been multiple opportunities, but he's done the job, and that's all we can ask from him.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, the one thing that I want to point to is the matchup that I think causes me the most concern is not even our defensive front versus Jeremy Hill on the ground. It's Buster Skrine and Mohamed Sanu, because Mohamed Sanu played like a number one receiver when A.J. Green was hurt. So that is one matchup that I will be looking to. And the other thing that I will say, and I'll continue to talk about tomorrow in depth as I look further into the film, is I think this game is going to be determined by who is most efficient in the red zone. Because I think both offenses will be able to move the football. There will be some turnovers by both teams. Unfortunately, I think we will win the turnover battle, but I don't think we're going to play perfect on a short week. So who can score efficiently in the red zone best? And for our defense, we've been a very good defense in the red zone. You know, I think we're in the top 10 in the National Football League in regards to the efficiency of which they score touchdown versus field goal. So I don't doubt that the ball is going to get to the red zone, but who plays their best when it gets there and forces field goals or turnovers will win this football game.
I think it's that, and I think it's who imposes their will, as you say, on these short weeks. Guys are banged up. I think you see sometimes in these Thursday night games, the reason you get so many blowouts is I think sometimes if somebody's getting pounded on and it's not going there, they're just like...
just mentally out of it.
Forget.
Yeah, emotionally drained, physically drained. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
Too much for me. All right, we will talk with Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty, before we get another national perspective on this game.